Would the $10 in your wallet just magically disappear? No. So wealth, even markers of wealth like dollar bills, don't magically vanish just because the market goes down. Now, my point of this is I'm not saying that the market capitalization didn't decline. I'm not saying that. I recognize the fact that it did, in this case, by $233 billion. My question is, did the actual value disappear or did it go somewhere else? Was there a true loss of wealth or was it transferred? That's a key issue because, you know, if you were sitting on the right side of a market decline, you can actually make money. Now, what are the chances? I'm just going to propose this as an idea. What are the chances that the Fed actually knows that their words can cause this type of swing in the market, and then they actually get on the right side of the market equation, in this case, puts or short sales or whatever else, different option strategies. What if they got on the right side of that, meaning they can make money when the market goes down, and then they intentionally torpedo the market? Would that tempt anyone, maybe, you think? Possibly. Could it? Maybe. You know, we make all this to-do about Martha Stewart and insider trading. If there's anybody who was completely positioned to do insider trading, it's the people who run the Fed. I'm not going to say they do. I'll let you decide if that temptation is possibly causing it actually to happen. I don't know. I don't know, Dave. What do you think? 844-527-8723. By the way, that story, April 27th, 1998, when the market collapsed 2.5% in a matter of minutes, was in a book by David Wessel, Fed Ponders Rate Boosts in Months Ahead, The Wall Street Journal. April 27th, 1998 is where the panic of 98 all started. By the way, it didn't take long. We went through 90, it recovered pretty quickly. Went through 99. 99 was blowing and going. I remember because I was in the business. I started 98, as a matter of fact. And the market was blowing and going in 99. And then you know what happened in the dot-com burst of 2000. So even though they recovered, didn't take much longer for the wealth of the market to be wiped out. 844-527-8723. Normally, I spend the last like 2 minutes of my show answering my own financial question of the day. Today, I'm going to take a little bit longer because I actually have an article to review about the minimum wage. My financial question today is this. Can wages be legislated or should they be free marketed? No one's taking me up on answering this question, so I'm going to jump on in and answer it myself. By the way, I'm closing up the email bag, so if you email me now, sorry, you're out of luck. You got to call 844-527-8723. Okay. Listen to the title of this article. This is by Leanna Garfield of the Business Insider, April 25th, 2018. The title, "The Hourly Wage Needed to Rent a Two-Bedroom Home in Every State." Here's the summary. A new report shows the hourly wages of workers needed to rent a two-bedroom home. Hawaii and California require the highest wages in the country to rent a home. On Wednesday, HUD Secretary Ben Carson will propose to increase the amount of low-income households are expected to pay for rent. So he's going to increase the actual rent for low-income households, according to the Washington Post. The legislation would likely make it even tougher for low-income families to rent a home. So clearly the article's posturing and posing itself to be all sympathetic to low income. I am too. I just don't think they're going to solve their problem this way. So listen to this. To rent a two-bedroom home, on average, you would need to earn $21.21 per hour as a full-time worker in the United States. That figure is higher in states like New York and California that are hurting the most from the nation's affordable housing crisis. A new report from the National Low Income Housing Coalition shows what an hourly worker needs to make to afford a two-bedroom rental home without paying more than 30% of their income. So they give you this this map, and it shows the hourly wages that you would need to earn in all the states to afford a two-bedroom home and it not be more than 30% of your income. Why they chose that? Well, it's kind of a standard in the industry. You're not supposed to spend about over a third of your income on housing. It doesn't have to be that way, but that's a general rule. Okay. So I don't mind their setting it up that way. But let's talk about whether or not – okay, so by the way, you want to know what the three cheapest states are? I think I found the three. Besides Puerto Rico, which kind of drops the number considerably, because Puerto Rico, the number would be $9 and – where was that number? $9.68. That's the cheapest of all. But the next three cheapest, all somewhat in the south, but not all that cheap. In other words, when I say cheap, I mean the number – the hours you would need, the income per hour – Arkansas comes in first. You would need they need minimum wage to be $13.72. Kentucky is next, $13.95. West Virginia is next at 14.49. By the way, it ranges all over. Louisiana, $16.16. Iowa, $14.57. Nevada, $18.01. Utah, $17.02. Washington State, $23.84. New York, 28.08. California would need a minimum wage of $30.92 for people to afford housing there, a two-bedroom apartment, and not be more than 30% of their income. Hawaii, 35.2. Florida, $20.68. So I have to ask the question, is everyone ready to just legislatively pass a bill that says, I don't know, what's the average now? What we need average-wise? All right, you ready for a $21.21 minimum wage? Well, let's think about this a little bit. So let's talk about what really is right now. Listen to this. The minimum wage in the United States is set by U.S. labor law. That's my financial question of the day. Can you legislate wages? Well, apparently the United States government thinks you can. So the minimum wage in the United States is set by U.S. labor law and a range of state and local laws. Employers generally have to pay workers the highest minimum wage prescribed by either the federal, the state, or the local law. Since July 24th, 2009, the federal government has mandated a nationwide minimum wage of $7.25. So remember, if we're trying to get everyone to be able to afford a two-bedroom apartment, we've got to triple that, $7.25, or else they can't get housing, according to this article that's being written, right? As of January 2018, there were 29 states with a minimum wage higher than the federal minimum. Now listen to this. Using 2017 figures, inflation-adjusted dollars. So if we adjust dollars, inflation-adjusted dollars, in 2017, the federal minimum wage peaked at $11.53 per hour in 1968. In other words, the highest the minimum wage ever felt, the highest it ever felt like you were earning was $11.53 in 1968. I ask the question again, can you legislate wages? Well, if you can, and I don't mean can it be done in the real world, like, can you pass a piece of legislation? I mean, can it make someone actually have the income you're striving for them to have? If you're trying to accomplish an income level, it hasn't worked very well. Matter of fact, I would say it's been an abysmal failure. If the last time we felt like we were earning $11.50 an hour was 50 years ago. No, 60 years ago. Is that right? 50 years ago. I don't know. Whatever the heck. It doesn't matter. 50 years ago. If the minimum wage in 1968 had kept up with labor's productivity growth, it would have reached $19.33 in 2017.